I don't know if you've, when you read through the Bible and you come to some verses, do you sort of, do you ever find yourself tempted to sort of just skip past them? Say, oh, well, there's not much here. You know, we shouldn't do that, because every single thing that God has written is precious. Perhaps sometimes you come to a list of names and you think, oh, okay, yeah, so blah, blah, Jones, Jojo, and then you go on to, no, even that is important. It's telling us that these were real people that God was dealing with. But here, this little psalm, maybe you think, oh, well, it's close to, it's close to the longest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119. Maybe you're tempted to skip that because it's too big. See how sinful we are? We find excuses all the time, don't we? But I just want us to look at this today because it is incredible. And when you think about it, tiny things can actually do huge things. Small things can have massive effects, can't they? So for instance, think about the word yes. The word yes is a tiny word. But it only takes a second to say, and yet, what happens afterwards? For instance, will you marry me? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. But yes, what happens after that? A lifetime can be transformed with a tiny word. Or no, think about that, even more sad perhaps. Now, this psalm is the shortest chapter in the Bible, and many of us have probably texted longer text messages than this psalm. It's easy to think, oh yeah, is that it? I've read it, it's gone. But look again, this tiny psalm is big in faith. And it has an enormous reach. I mean, look, it's talking to the world. All you nations. In fact, you may not realize this, but the message of this psalm is so big that 1,000 years later, the Apostle Paul used this psalm when he was trying to sort out big problems in the church in Rome between Jewish believers and Gentile believers. They just couldn't see eye to eye. They were all believers, they all loved Jesus, but there were tensions. And where does Paul go? Does he go to, you know, the love of Jesus? Does he go to the love of the Father? Does he go to the fact that we're all made? No, it comes to this psalm. So it's big. Well, what's it all about? Well, I'm going to tell you now that this is David calling on the world to worship God as one people. And it's a challenge to every religion in the world and no religion, saying there is only one true and living God, the Lord Jehovah, the God of the Bible. And it is also a challenge and a rebuke to everyone who says they worship God through Jesus Christ, but who, well, refuses or struggles or finds excuses to not invite other people to worship him. It's a challenge to us in our evangelism. So that's a lot for a little psalm, isn't it? So that's some of the reasons why this psalm was written. And I think as well, and this we'll end the introduction, this is also the answer to the question, why on earth am I here? Why on earth am I here? That's pretty impressive, isn't it, for just a few words? 30 words in English, approximately. So why are you here? This psalm is going to answer that. Why are you here? Well, first thing is this. We are here to praise the Lord. We are here to praise the Lord. Why are you here? You're here to worship. Why were you made? Why do you exist? You were made to worship. So God says, through David, and I would say even through the Messiah, using this psalm, praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples. There's the call. Now, there's lots of psalms like that, aren't there? But because this one has so few verses, it's like every little verse is concentrated into its the absolute nugget of what it is that we're trying to say. So, are you human? I hope you are. Are you a human being? Am I preaching to people this morning? God is calling on you simply to praise him and to, that word, extol him. It's kind of sort of list all the things that are so amazing about him. Do that how you like. You can say it, you can sing it, you can write it, you can live it out. Just showing people how amazing God is. That's why you're here. So you're not primarily here to find a wife or a husband. We're not primarily here to get a job and a career. We're not primarily here to have children and bring them up and lead them through life. That's not why you're here. Not number one. In this briefest of text messages from God, he's saying, you're here to praise the Lord. Now think about that. What do other people say? Mr. Capitalist. Mr. Capitalist, why are you here? Well, you're here to give your sweat and blood and your life to the huge machine that is gross domestic product. To grease the cogs of Great Britain PLC. You are a cog in a machine. Thank you, Mr. Capitalist. Thanks a lot. Mr. Atheist, why am I here? Well, you're here to procreate and to pass on your genes to your offspring and maybe, through struggle and death, claw your way out of the slime. Thank you, Mr. Atheist. I feel so much better. Oh, Mr. Moral Churchgoer, why am I here? Well, you're here to try your best, to do good, despite all the bad people around you, to pray and read your Bible, and hope that someday your good deeds might outweigh your bad deeds, and you might scrape yourself into heaven. Really? That doesn't sound great. But thank you, Mr. Moral Churchgoer. I think I'll pass on that as well. Mr. Environmentalist, why am I here? Or Mrs. Environmentalist, I'm not sexist. Mrs. Environmentalist, why are you here? Why am I here? Well, you're here. You're here to basically leave no footprints, to use no resources, to stop eating meat, and start walking more, and stop burning coal, and stop breathing, because your carbon dioxide is really quite noxious. And maybe you'll escape the coming fire that is 1.5 degrees. Oh, thank you, Mr. Environmentalist, Mrs. Environmentalist. Mr. New Age Buddhist, why am I here? Mr. Spirituality, why am I here? Well, you're here forever, pal. Let me tell you, try to escape this world by meditating. Try to imagine yourself dissolving into the nothingness that is the great consciousness. And perhaps you can escape the constant cycle of reincarnation and you can be dissolved and absorbed and become nothing. But probably when you die, you'll come back as a camel. Oh, thanks a lot. Whereas God says, no, I want you to be happy. That's really what God is saying in this verse. I want you to be happy. What does he mean? What do I mean? Well, we are made to bring glory to God and enjoy him forever. Happiness is found in being what we were made to be and being with the God that we were made to be with. What does God want for us? We're here to praise the Lord. You are here for something higher, greater, more glorious than any other purpose, to find joy in knowing and praising your Lord. So, I suppose the real challenge is that why I get up in the morning? Is that what brings me joy? That's the challenge of this psalm. It's like a punch in the face, isn't it? Because normally, why do we get out of bed? What makes us happy? Is it another day to praise God? Honestly? Well, it can be, can't it? But are we living in this world with our heart and soul and mind and strength looking up to our Father, looking up to our Savior, trusting in the Spirit? Are we? Is that why we get up in the morning? That's the challenge. And I find that that's the deepest challenge of all, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. God made us find the reason we were born. That's the first thing. And but then you say, but how? Well, here's the second thing. If we were made to praise the Lord, secondly, we're privileged to know the Lord. We're privileged to know the Lord. Verse 2, look at this. Great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. That word love is such a rich word. It's so very difficult to kind of express in English in one word. It can mean merciful kindness, a kindness that's so undeserved. It can mean promise-keeping, faithful love, the kind of love that means that say a man and a woman will promise to love and live together forever in sickness and health, death, poverty, riches, illness, everything. I will stay with you. Divine mercy, tenderness. And the psalm says this love towards us is great. There's another word that's lost all its meaning in modern English, isn't it? Oh, it's great. Everything's great, isn't it? Everything's awesome. Have you noticed? Everything is awesome. It's not just on the Lego movie. Everything, the word just comes out all the time. But great, as in the... Have you ever tried to pick something up that's too heavy? The other day, Jules and I were buying some more rocks at the builder's merchant in like 20 kilo bags. And we could manage it, but imagine at some of the rocks that they had in the builder's merchants, they were like as big as that piano. Imagine trying to pick that up. You just couldn't. 10 of us couldn't do it. That's like God's love. It's so great, we can't pick it up. It's so weighty. It's kind of like a beautiful crushing. It's like to be overwhelmed by this love. We can love a God like that, can't we? A God who willingly allows himself to be crushed at Calvary. Through Jesus, his son willingly came. That faithfulness. Why do we sing? We sing because of this overwhelming love. And then the next word there is faithfulness. It's really, you know, reliability, truthfulness, truth. Some Bibles translate it as the truth of the Lord, the trustworthiness. He's always there. And not just he's always existing, but he's there for you. And he's there for me. You know, you can just rely on him. Sometimes we have friends like that, don't we? We just know they're always going to be there when we need them, day or night. I mean, but even then, they may lack the ability to help. But God is saying, no, my faithfulness is there forever. You see it in the seasons. The autumn is here. The winter's coming. The spring will come. The summer will come. That's God's faithfulness. You see it in the day and the night. You went to bed last night. Did you, in your wildest imaginations, imagine that there would be no morning? Did you think there's going to be no Sunday morning? No. It didn't even cross your mind, did it? Why? Because God sends the day and God sends the night. That's trustworthiness. You feel it under your feet as the leaves fall from the trees. We're in autumn. Yep, every season. But then every time you open a box of cereal and you eat something which the Lord has provided, it's not Morrison's in whom we trust. It's the Lord. Every time you put on a shirt or a blouse, every time you tie your shoelaces, where has this all come from? TK Maxx? It's come from the faithfulness of the Lord. And it says it endures forever. In other words, the promises of God are as fresh and as bright as the day he made them. As the day that this song was first sung by King David and his people, 1000 BC. It's as fresh today as it was then. It's like every day can be the first day of hearing the promises of God because they don't change. Why? Why are we here to, we're here to praise him. Why should we praise him? Well, we're so privileged. This is why we sing. Because could your love be described like this? Is your love great? Is your faithfulness everlasting? Would you say that in every and any situation, Adam, I know that your love for me will be great and overwhelming, and your faithfulness would endure forever? You can't say that of me. No matter how hard we want to. And yet, this is the love and the faithfulness that God shows to us. What a privilege. So, do you know how to praise the Lord? This song tells you, really. Just ask yourself, who is he? The better you know him, the louder you sing. This psalm is not really saying to you, sing louder, sing better, try harder, love him more, do more, pray more, be better Christians. That's not what this psalm is saying at all. This psalm is saying, look up. Look up. Look to him. And what happens? As you look up, you discover that you are being changed. And you sing, at least in your heart. This tiny psalm also reminds us that God is not moved by long prayers, but by passionate prayers. It's not the many words that God hears us by, but by the weight of our words. He doesn't measure our, he doesn't time our prayers. He kind of weighs them, doesn't he? Is there a reality, a burning reality in our lives? It's not in long sermons either, but in loving obedience. And so if your song has grown quiet, if you found your love grow cold, just drink this little song of fire. It's so small, we could kind of read it every day, couldn't we? It's like a little, you could have this as a verse on your fridge, on your phone, wherever. Why? Great love. faithfulness forever. I mean, I'm not really telling you anything you don't know, am I? But why do we just forget so easily? We're privileged to know the Lord. And briefly, we'll wrap things up by asking us, well, why else are we here? I would say that we're here to proclaim the Lord, aren't we? To proclaim the Lord. Look, verse 1 again. Do you see all those folks singing? The nations, the peoples, look around. But, you know, outside today, do you see that happening? Do you see, what do you see when you look outside your window normally? We see people trudging past our houses, don't we, on the way, on the rat race to the bus station or the train station. People cross your paths, their eyes are down. And it's not just because they're always looking at their phone. Their ears are down, their eyes are closed, they're silent, they're not singing. Why? Because they don't know their Father God in heaven, they don't know their Creator. Every time Israel sang this psalm, they would be reminded that they were meant to be a beacon to the world. Israel was meant to be the one singing. Look, come, come and worship. Who's inviting the Gentiles? Well, God is inviting the Gentiles to worship, but how is he doing it? He's doing it through King David. He's doing it through the people of Israel singing. He's doing it, I think, even through the Messiah singing this psalm. The summons to worship kind of turns around and bites us all, doesn't it? Because we have an obligation to call people to know this God. Like Andrew went to Simon Peter and said, "We found the Messiah. Come and see." Does praising your Lord help you proclaim your Lord? And I think this is the key. Again, this psalm is not saying, be better missionaries. Be better evangelists. Try harder. Tell more people. You must be out there evangelizing. That's not what this psalm is saying. But it is saying, we babble about the things we love. We talk about the things we love. We talk about the people we love. The things that excite us are the things that we talk about. As a friend used to tell me, he knew somebody, every time he opened his mouth, out popped a golf ball. Because that's what he loved. And you knew it. Well, that should be us. What do we love? And does our kind of witness together speak of the love of God? Paul quotes, I mentioned this, in Romans 15, when urging the church in Rome to be united. He quotes this psalm. And really what the psalm is saying is, look, if the Jews and the Gentiles worship the same God, then they must be together. They must be united. They must be one people. That's really what this psalm is saying. So, how do you know if someone is a true worshiper of God? They get on with their brothers and sisters in church. Some people know lots of theology. Some people know their Bibles really well. But they're like porcupines, aren't they, some people? Some Christians, you get too close, you're going to get poked because they're just difficult people. They need to worship God a lot more, and that needs to change them. Maybe it needs to change me, change us. How do we know when someone worships God? They get on with their brothers and sisters. They forgive, and they ask for forgiveness. They have received this great love, and they can trust in this great faithfulness. And they don't just disappear when things get tough. And they don't stop loving when people are unlovely. That's really hard, isn't it? See, this psalm, it's just two verses. Bang! It's hit us this morning. So to wrap things up, we're here to praise the Lord. We're privileged to know the Lord. We're here to proclaim the Lord together. And to end, we're promised so much, aren't we? The very end just says, praise the Lord. And I wonder there, I mean, it might be, it'd just be hinting, only a hint really, but this is not like verse 1, where, if you like, Israel is calling on the Gentiles to praise the Lord. This is now, I think, everyone together saying, yeah, praise the Lord. There's a hint there, isn't it? Israel was singing in verse 1, but now there's no Jew or non-Jew. Everything is swallowed up in praise. I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude which no one could count, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's the promise, that all creation will be swallowed up with the cry, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what hallelujah means. Praise the Lord. This is your destiny if you're a Christian. Praise the Lord. That's your destiny. And there'll be people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation next to you, shoulder to shoulder, saying, hallelujah, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And then the word happiness will be understood. And if you're not a Christian, or if you don't know, and you hope one day to be happy, I can say to you, you won't be unless you discover this God for yourself too. But you can. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one who worshipped God with a full heart all his life when we never did. And he's the one who, even on the cross, cries out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did that so that we would never be apart from God. And if you will admit that you haven't loved God with a great love and that you haven't been faithful to the Lord, and if you ask him to forgive you, you can experience this journey too. And your destiny can be praise the Lord. And you can discover what happiness means. You can discover why on earth you were here, why God has put you here. So please, today, call on him. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's close.